Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Appreciate the opportunity and thank the good Lord for the privilege of coming to another time when we're able to consider the Word of God and study its rich teachings. And as we've tried to pray and tried to prepare, we've had a lot of things that have been on our heart as we've tried to study and make ready for this opportunity. And I hope and pray that as we go through these points that I've outlined on the board here behind me, that the study is just a portion or partly as much of a blessing as it has been in trying to actually prepare to present what we have here at this time. If there is blessings, if there are rich understandings that come from the study of that we're about to conduct, I hope that we'll all be careful to thank the good Lord for that, because it's to Him that we look as we try not only to prepare, but then also it's to Him we look as we try to take up these thoughts. I'd just like to point out that indeed this is the third part of a study, which is on the Word of God. On this, it's called Of the Scriptures. And in this third part, the point that we're making here is that the Scriptures reveals the principles by which God will judge us. We've looked at a couple of other thoughts relating to the Scriptures, and we've noticed how that indeed the Word of God is given of God, and that not only is the Word of God given of God, but also that as God is its author, that there is an end or a purpose for which the Scriptures have been given, and that is salvation is its end. And then we'll look at tonight, or this, whenever you have the opportunity to consider this, be it morning or night, we'll see that in this, we're relating to the Scriptures that teach that not only is the Word of God given by God and has salvation as its end, but also that God tells us plainly that it is by His Word by which that He'll judge us. And as we receive this presented in God's Word, how that these are the principles by which judgment will be given, and we'll see that indeed this Word has been delivered from God unto the world, that it's forever settled, that it will not change, that it has been delivered. And with that surety and seeing how that it has been delivered and presented unto the world to so that we can know certainly what it is, assuredly what it is, we can get a more clear understanding and perhaps a clear perception of just how it's significant that the Word of God is. And we already get that significance in seeing that it will judge us, but then in seeing the care and the handling and the presentation of God's Word, how that God has brought it and delivered it unto us, that maybe in seeing that we can also indeed come to a better grasp of, yes, indeed, I can see that God has taken such care to present it as He has presented it, because it will be what that God will use to judge us by. So it's what we should expect, what we should anticipate. And we'll see this revealed and presented to us in the Word of God as we go through these points from Scriptures that we have listed here. Before that we get into the study, I'd like to pray. And then after we pray, we'll take up these thoughts. If it's to where you can and you'd like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, thankful again for Your rich many blessings that You extend to us through Thy Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Holy Father, for Thy long-suffering and mercy. And where we come short and fail Thee, our God, we're thankful for the grace of God. And indeed, as we said, the long-suffering of God allowing us the opportunity to repent, that we'd come to God and give up the things which that would distract. Lord, we know that where there's good, that is because that You've indeed blessed. Where there's shortcomings and failures, that goes on our account and because of our weakness and failure to yield to Thee. Help us, Lord, daily that we would be found leaning upon Thee, our God, and cleanse us of our daily transgressions. We pray, God, You'd help us as we might consider the Word of God. Help us to consider this rich point which has been laid out before us. Allow us, Lord, to consider these things and present them in such a way that it would be known plainly that this is not a private thought from some man, but indeed that these are the very teachings of the Holy Word of God. And Father, we pray that as this goes forward, that it would be greatly used of Thee, our God, that those who may consider it would be blessed in such a way that indeed it would be understood that the things brought forth have a source, and that source is from the great eternal God, our Father, He and our Creator. We pray, God, if there be any who that are lost, knowing Thee not, nor the free pardon of sin, something might be said or done that would cause a lost soul to see their need and to turn to God with all their heart and take the great water of life unto that great life everlasting. Father, take now and use, direct according to that which is good and right in the sight of God. We'll be careful to give You the praise. We ask all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For His name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said, we are going to try to address these thoughts which are laid out here, and I'd like to first off start by calling your attention to a website which has many resources on it. The resources which you can find there are relating to this study is found under the Articles of Faith. And what we have here, just to specify or help so that you'd understand, see what that is written, this says that the website's address is fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's Fisher, one Fisher, of Men, Baptistic. There's no space or anything. This is one letter right after another consecutively. Baptistic, that's Baptist with the IC on the end, .com. And consider going to this place on the internet. You'll be able to find references to of the scriptures under the area called Articles of Faith. Turning to the scriptures, I'll take a look at our key verse. And we have two key verses out of the book of John. The first one being from John chapter 12, the second being from John chapter 20. We'll start off with John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, we're going to note, this is the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking. And we'll just read these two verses of Scripture. And now I'll back up and emphasize these. But I'm going to start with verse 46. Notice verse 47 and 48 is what I have noted here. But in verse 46, the Lord is saying, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I would call your attention to this last verse, where the Lord, doing the speaking, and as He is speaking, He makes it plain that the word which that He has spoken is significant. The word is so significant that the Lord says of it, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. So, to have a knowledge of the Word of God, to have a knowledge of Christ Jesus, is very important. It's so significant that it is a pivotal point. We either receive it as it is, the very Word of God, or we absolutely and utterly reject it. Depending upon how we receive it, we notice that it has a direct impact, and that impact is unavoidable. If the option that is selected is, as the Lord said, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words, those who choose to reject the Lord and all that encompasses, and those who choose to receive not His words and all that entails, he that takes, though it makes the choice in that direction, has judgment passed on, and it's inescapable. And He says this, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. When some of the old timers, and that's a phrase that's been used much, and as I was growing up, old timers meaning those who down through the ages of time have been involved in this work around the Word of God. Well, those old-timers they used to make a phrase or make a statement to describe this very idea, to express this notion, and the notion was that even when this world is on fire, when this world passes away, and in the Bible God tells us it will one day pass away, they used to say when this world is on fire, the Word of God is still going to be steadfast and sure. It's going to be right there. It's going to be right there to meet us. And it'll be a judge to those who that do not receive the words of God and those who reject Christ. It'll still be there. Denying them and ignoring them doesn't make them go away. They're still going to abide and be right there. It's unavoidable. Another point that goes along with this is our next key verse. I'll back away so we can see it, and it's in John chapter 20. And you'll notice there are two verses listed, verse 30 and verse 31. And those are the last two verses of the 20th chapter of the book of John. In this portion of God's Word, we find it written, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." This verse, this last verse of Scripture, especially calls our attention to why what we have written has been written. If we focus in and key in on the first part that we read, we find that the Word will indeed be a judge. But even though it will be a judge to those who reject, who refuse Christ, and reject his words, refuse to receive them, even though that is the case for those who approach God in that way, we have another intent, and this goes back to the last study, which in that last study we found that the Scriptures have a goal, and the aim is that people, through God's Word, through the work of the Spirit of God accompanying his Word, that salvation is its end. And that's what we find in this verse of Scripture. Even though those who reject Christ and don't receive his Word, they will have the Word of God there standing to judge them in the last day. We find that what has been recorded, though it will be adjudged to those who that refuse to yield unto God, who reject what God has said and all that entails, we find that that was not the intent of the Word. The Word is intended. The goal is that these things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It reminds me of a verse of Scripture over in the first chapter of this same book that says that to as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. There is a enabling that comes to those that receive God's Word, who receive this truth of who Christ is and God's testimony of who Christ is. And it says that there is an empowerment there. He said, and I'll go back and quote that again, it says that to those that receive Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. So sonship, being born again, comes through belief on Christ, not just from taking a positive notion towards what's written, but through that's the place to start, a mental state. However, there is a belief that must accompany that, and that's a belief from the heart. Scripture says, Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This isn't a mind, the use of the mind is not the end, it's the start. And from that, you have those who receive Christ, they receive a power, and that is they're empowered to become the sons of God, even those who believe on his name. And that's again in 1 John chapter 1. So, our two key scriptures, John 12 and John 20. Now, in following up with this, we'll notice the significance of this. You know, what we've just read gives us a great emphasis on the importance of God's Word and how that it's unescapable and what the great intent of it is. So now we'll see the handling of it and how that it has been brought and how that it has been delivered unto us so that we have this great, mighty expression of the will of God, of the mind of God recorded and settled for us. to where that it would indeed be these things which we've just read about. So in John 17, the verses we're going to look at, and we have went through a few verses, jumped here and there to get those verses because of the limits of time in a study such as this. So to help us with our time, John 17, verse 14 is the first verse. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is in prayer in John 17. And as he's praying, these are the words that he has prayed. So this is God the Son, Jesus Christ, in prayer unto God the Father. And in this communication that between God the Son and God the Father, we have this recorded. I have given them thy word. The them, in this case, is his disciples, these apostles whom he had chosen and who had accompanied him through his earthly ministry. At this point in John 17, the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, had already departed. Here, in this prayer, he's referring to those who faithfully abode with him, who maintained, who stayed with him. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So what word is it that was given to them? Jesus says, I have given them the word of God. I've given them thy word. So this specific word is something Christ takes and delivers, hands to his disciples here. We'll keep reading, and this is verses 20 and 21 out of this same chapter. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So through this word that the Lord says, I've given, as in he's praying, he says, I've given these thy word. And he says that he's not just praying for those to whom he had given this word, but he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, which word is he talking about? The word that he has given them. He has entrusted, he has brought down and delivered his word to these. And then not only does he pray for the preservation and the keeping of those to whom that he delivered the word to, but to those who would follow, having believed their word and having received it. So we have a lineage, a succession, a progression tied up in this word that God has given to Christ. Christ gave it to his followers, and he's prayed, seeing the down-the-line succession of those who are faithfully hearing, though receiving, following after, not rejecting it, but adhering to it, following it, and staying in that succession. So we have this prayer of the Lord, and in the prayer, he is telling us about the nature of this word and how we see it progressing, keeping moving forward. Next off, we'll read in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we notice an example of this continuance. The word delivered to Christ, Christ delivered it to his people, and those who to whom that they have taken it and turned around and they're teaching it and sharing it, and those who believe and likewise not only come in contact with it, but yield to it and become, if you will, entwined with it, how that there would be that succession, that prevailing, continuing on. So in seeing this, in Luke chapter 1, we'll read, as I've written or have noted, Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Rather than spending a lot of time explaining what is meant by Theophilus, I would like to focus on some of the points here relating to the word. First off, he says, others have taken it in hand to set forth in order the things most surely believed among us. So it has been recorded, the things which are most surely believed, the faith, the system of doctrine, the belief system, which had been shared. He says, even as they delivered them unto us. Delivered what to us? He's saying that something's been delivered to them. What is it? What has been delivered? This declaration of the things which are most surely believed among us. Well, where did they get it from? Well, it says this, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Who were the eyewitnesses? Who accompanied Christ and were the eyewitnesses of the things that are recorded? Well, that were the apostles. Those are the same men who the Lord, in His prayer, here in John 17 that we noted, these are the same ones He said, Father, I have given them Thy word. Well, Luke here is talking about having received it. This is what these eyewitnesses had done. They had delivered them unto us. And having a perfect understanding of this, He is explaining and expounding it. It says here, it seemed good unto me to write unto thee in order that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. So we have a preservation, a documented of it, with the purpose of capturing what that these who were eyewitnesses, they had received the word, they had faithfully ministered it. This author, Luke, having had perfect understanding, having received it as God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, Luke is one of these people, no doubt under the guidance and direction, inspiration of the Spirit of God. He writes and records unto thee, most excellent Theophilus, that you would know the surety of those things. So, once again, this is the Word of God. This book of Luke, is indeed recorded. It is recorded for a purpose to faithfully contain those things delivered of the Lord to His eyewitnesses, which had been ministered, and having it ministered and received, it was recorded that it could come on to us. So this word is so important, so essential, that it has indeed been documented faithfully. Having this heavenly source, but brought to earth and secured and settled in such a way that we can have it very accurately as God would have for it to be accurate for us, so that we would also know what this truth is. God, who says this word is so important and vital that if we reject Christ and don't receive it, it won't go away. We'll be judged by it. But that's not the purpose of it. It's for those who that we would have it come to believe on Christ, see what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, what Christ gave Himself to for us so that we come to God. And in having this message, the faithful deliverance of it, we would believe it not only with our mind, but because of what we understand from it, that we would believe from the heart. So not only having received power to become the sons of God, but acting upon it from the heart to have that very heartfelt salvation. Next, very similar statements from Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2, and we'll look at verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2. Notice here, and I'm going to back up and I'm going to do the old get more verses than what I've noted, but Hebrews 2 verse 3 is the focus verse. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? What was confirmed unto us? Do we see a connection? I want you to notice how that there is a not only what Christ spoke and what Christ delivered, but how that the things He delivered and spoke are the same things, not a element of it or a private version of it, but the things that Christ delivered are the things which that those who heard Him confirmed and presented so that we don't have a gospel according to Jesus and a gospel according to Peter and a gospel according to another one. It was all the same message, the very same thing that we have in the Word of God today. Another verse of Scripture, and this is from 1 Peter, and in chapter 1. And I notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll back up, you see there are two citations here, one from 1 Peter, and the other one will be coming from Mark. So 1 Peter 1, chapter 1 that is, in verse 12, the Scripture here says, and I'm again, follow the same pattern, back up, and notice how that the prophets who spoke before Christ came are mentioned in verse 10, but verse 12 is the focus verse, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now notice, in the things that have been reported unto whom is revealed that not unto themselves but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Where is the source of this information? Where has the continual link for the words that have been delivered, the testimony that has been shared? The constant source is from heaven. The Spirit of God, being that agent of the Godhead, working to make sure that the Word of God was presented, delivered, and not only delivered, but recorded. And then what is it that has been shared? Those who serve God as His ministers and present His Word for Him as His ministers, they working in cooperation as instrumentality of God, bring the Word of God. This is what Timothy was taught. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Exhort, rebuke, reprove with all longsuffering and doctrine. So bring God's Word forward. Present it. That is God's will, to have this Word, this that has its source in heaven, God is its author, delivered, presented faithfully, kept preserved, shared, and kept in such a state that indeed God is going to hold us to it. He will hold us to it. And our last verse from Mark 13. And in Mark 13, you'll notice that this is just a turnaround, 1-3, Mark 13, verse 3-1, 31. Mark 13, verse 31, the Scripture says this. I'm going to back up. Good to be consistent. I'll start with verse 29, but verse 31 is our key point. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. This is Jesus Christ speaking of end times. He continues on and says, verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all things be done, till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now think of the emphasis that is placed on the words which Christ, in His prayer that we started with, after our key verses in the prayer, we started with there in John 17, He said, Thy word, Father, have I given to them. Speaking of these words, Christ said, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. These are the words that in the last day, if we reject Christ and do not receive these words, these are the words that shall judge us. They're not going anywhere. And we could choose to try to get around them or ignore them or just try to avoid them. It's unavoidable. We're going to meet it. And not just me and you, but my family and your family, and those people who we come in contact with up and down the travels of our lives, still right there is that word, and that word will be there until the very end of time. I hope something's been brought forth that's been helpful. If so, let's be careful to thank the Lord for that. I notice again that it reveals the principles by which God shall judge us. And this is, again, the third part in this study and looking at the Scriptures as, indeed, the Word of God. Thank you again for studying along with us and for considering this Word, considering the thoughts in it. Be careful to check out the website, and if you find something there that will enrich your study, you be careful to thank the Lord for it. Thank you. May God richly bless you and yours. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Until we're able to study again.